Today's shir is Masech Tachun, Daf Mem Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Mem Vav on the base, three lines from the bottom. In order to help us understand today's shir, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, we need to try to describe how a lung looks. So a lung, when you take it out of the animal's body, if it's facing the person, if it's hanging from its leg, from the legs of the animal, facing the person, you'll find that on the right side of the lung, there are, on both the two sides to the lung, the right side and the left side, on both of them, on the top, there's the main lobe, which is called in our Gemara the Uma, with a Mem. And then you have, on the right side, three smaller lobes. On the left side, two smaller lobes, the cranial lobes, which are called in our Gemara Una, with a Nun. So you have the Uma on the top, which is from the word Aim, mother, the primary lobe, and the three and two lesser lobes on each side of the lung. What happens very commonly with a lung, and as we already said in our previous year, the lung is the part of the animal that has to be, the lung is the part of the animal that has to be checked, even bizman hazeh, under all circumstances, is that the lung formed sirchus, adhesions to the lung. And in our Gemara, there's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what is the concern with a sircha? Rashi says the concern is that under the sircha, there is a hole. And as we discussed already in the previous year, when the raya has a hole, it's not kosher. On the other hand, the Tosfos learns that the concern is not that it has a hole, but rather the concern is that it's going to develop a hole. And therefore, since it's going to develop a hole, we already have a real concern. As is clear already from the Rishonim, we don't really know how to deal with the sircha. And the halacha is that an animal with a sircha, a lung with a sircha, we don't use. However, and this is where the entire issue of kosher and glatt kosher comes, what many animals do sometimes have is what's known as rearin. Rearin are not real sirchas, real adhesions. They're lesions that come out of the lung. The Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, says that we shouldn't eat animals with rearin either. The Ramah says that an animal with rearin which can be removed. It's a separate issue how to remove rearin. There are different customs. Is kosher. So we have here fundamental machlokes of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the animal to be kosher has to be glatt, has to be smooth, chalak. According to the Ramah, it's kosher if it doesn't have sirchus, but does have rearin. What has become the minig in many communities is that they only eat glatt meat, but also has become the minig in many communities is that there are different types of rearin. And rearin that are very easily, just to come off very easily, are not even considered rearin, and therefore are considered glatt, certainly according to the Ramah. And what Shitas Beis Yosef is on different types of rearin really is a matter of custom. And that's how we begin our shiur today. If you have a sircha between the two unim, less lubaduk b'dika. There's nothing you could do about it. However, says the Gemara, v'loy amar, this was only said that when is a sircha between the two unin an issue, el shleika sidrin. If, as I said, let's say on the right side you have three unin, so the sircha goes from the first to the third, that's when Rava will consider the sircha an issue. Avl kasidran, if the sircha goes from the first to the second, that's the way the animal grows, and therefore there's no problem. So Rashi and Tosfos asks a question. According to his explanation that we gave him a moment ago, why a sirch is an issue is because it doesn't really represent the whole. It only represents a potential whole. And as the Aruch HaShulchan explains both Rashi's and Tosfos' opinion somewhat the same way, a sircha doesn't indicate that for sure the animal is treif. What a sircha represents is that there's an issue. So Tosfos says, when the sircha is next to the two unas that are next to each other, we don't have that much of a concern. But as Tosfos, according to Rashi's opinion, that a sircha represents a whole, so what's the difference if it's next, if the two unas, if the sircha is between two unas that are next to each other or not? The sircha is a whole, and a whole, we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara, we will learn, is a not kosher animal. So Tosfos answers, so the way to defend Rashi's pshat, there are two ways of defending Rashi's pshat. One pshat is that Rashi is going to say that only what type of a sircha is a sircha that's a whole, is only a sircha that is between, not between two consecutive unas, but a sircha that's between two consecutive unas is not a whole. It's one way of understanding Rashi. Another way of understanding Rashi is, what is the sircha according to Rashi? According to Rashi, the sircha is a scab. And as we learned, and we're going to learn in Mitzvah tomorrow here again, a scab is not considered a decent covering. Says Rashi, because a scab we know can fall off. When is a scab not considered a decent closing? Only when the two unas are not, when it's a sircha not next to two unas that are near each other. But when it's a sircha next to two unas that are next to each other, even though the sircha represents a scab, it's a decent covering. Another interesting question that Rashi says, he says he asked this question to his Rebbe. As I described at the beginning of the shir, you have the uma, the main lobe, and then you have the unais, the less important lobes. And the Gemara clearly just taught us that if the sircha is between the two unais next to each other, it's not a concern. Asks Rashi to his Rebbe, and what happens if they have the sircha going from the uma, from the main lobe, to the cranial lobe, to the una right under it? Is that considered a considerant sircha, and it's not a problem? Or is it an issue? So Rashi says that his Rebbe said that it has the same heter. The same heter that applies when you have the sircha by two unais will also be between the uma and the una under it. That's how Rashi explains. However, Rashi himself and other Rishonim say an argument can be made differently. An argument can be made that since Al Gemara clearly indicates that a sircha is only an issue next to two unas, when it's not next to two unas, a sircha is not a, when between the uma and the una, that's not what our Gemara said is fine, and it would be a problem even though they're next to each other. Continues the Gemara. Vama Rava, hani tarti bui the smichla dude, lest be the kusay. We discussed it in the previous year. Sometimes what happens is there's like a bubble, a blister, a blubble, that's on top of the lung. It's called a bua. And as we described in the previous year, what that can mean is that, as we said, there are two membranes around the lung, and we don't know what does that bubble represent. Does it mean that there's a hole maybe only on one membrane, not on both membranes? That maybe only on the bottom membrane there's a hole, not on the upper membrane. But Rav Ahim makes a statement that if you have two buas right next to each other, then we have to, for sure, the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that for sure represents that there's a hole. As we've been learning, if there's a nekev, it's treif. Other Rishonim explain, it's not that we can know for certain that it has this hole, but rather the concern is that when you have these two buas next to each other, there's really no acceptable way of knowing for sure what's going on, and therefore we have to be machmer. There are Rishonim that indicate that this entire concern of this bua is only when it's soft. But if it's hard, we're going to have a mitzvah shem of the shurim, a concept of tzmochim, which represent hard buas, it would be fine. Other Rishonim say that the only time, the Gemara is going to speak about opening up this bubble, the only time we would have a concern is if we open up the bubble and we see in it pus, mugla. But if we open it up and we see in a clear liquid, it's a proof that there's nothing to be concerned about. So again, says the Gemara, Hanitati Buddha Smichla Dadi, we have these two bubbles right next to each other. Lesla Bidikusai, the animal can't be made kosher. What is the halacha chadim mischasya katrei? If you have one bubble that looks like true, two, mesinen tselua, we bring a needle, ubezinen la, and we puncture it. Ishafkan la dadi, if we see that there's no obtrusion from one to the other, so it's a proof to chadihi kshera, as we said. Viloy, if it doesn't go through clearly, that's a clear that it's a proof that tati nenu, it's two bubbles, and it's a treifa. Says the Gemara, ve'omarova, as we said earlier in the shir, hey une isle l'reya. The reya has five unas, three on the right side, two on the left side. How does it look that way? Apa klava gavra, if it's facing the shaychet. If you look at the long that way, you will see that there are tlosa miyamina, three on the right side, v'tanti v'smala, and two on the left side. Says the Gemara, chaser, if you're missing an una, a yasir, or it has an extra una, a chalif, or you have it that the right side has two, and the left side has three, it's treifa. That's posh pshat in the Gemara. That even if you have that under all circumstances, if you have three and two on the wrong side, it's treif. There are achronim that say that that's not pshat in the Gemara, because they have a very strong question. If chalif means, as we just said, so that's already yasir, because you're supposed to have two on the left, and here you have three. So why does the Gemara have to add chalif, and it's already chasir, because you're supposed to have three on the right, and you only have two. So why does the Gemara have to say chasir, or yasir, or chalif? Once it's chasir, yasir, chalif is self-understood. And therefore, those achronim suggest that if you'll have more than three and two, let's say you'll have four on the right side and three on the left side, as long as the right side has more than the left side, even though the right side has more than they're normally supposed to have, and the left side has more than it's normally supposed to have, it'll be fine. The Gemara is saying, if it's three and two, three on the left and two on the right, that's a problem. But four and three, that means everybody has one extra, but you still have the minimum amount you're supposed to have plus more, coupled with the right still having more than the left, it'll still be a kosher animal.
What's yasir?
Yasir means when only one side has an extra one. Yasir will mean when only one side has an extra one. Again, that's how they learn pshat in the Gemara. They have a good kasher, but that's not pshat in the Gemara. Even those paiskim that said pshat that I just gave do agree, interestingly, that if it has a total of 10 unas, that instead of having 5, it has double the amount you're supposed to have, it has 10, then the halacha is that it's treif. Says the Gemara, Hahu yaserta, there was a lung that had extra unas. Dosla kameh de merema, was brought to a merema with a shayla. Have yosir v'acha ababa. So Rav Acha was sitting by the porch, and he asked the person who took this lung to merema for a shayla, my amalach, what did he tell you about this lung? Amalei achshrenala, he said it to me, it's kosher. Amalei, hada ayla kameh. He said, take it back, because our Gemara just taught us that if it has an extra una, it's treif. So how could Merema have told you it's kosher? So the person took it back to Merema. And Merema realized what was going on here. That obviously the person who had gotten from him the psak, that it's fine, somebody told him it's not so simple what you hear here. Amalei zil emalei lamanda yosef ababa. So Merema didn't know who was sitting on the porch, but he realized that the person on the porch was the one that sent them back. Less hilchasik of a say, Rabbi B'Seris. We don't agree with Rabbi's psak, and extra una is not an issue. However, even though Merema is taking this lenient approach, that an extra una is not a concern, says the Gemara, Hayin amile de kaima bedura de uni. Only if it is along the same row as I described, you have three on the right side, one after the other, two on the left side, one after the other. Ava beni beni, if you have them between, it's a treifa. That even a merema would agree it's treif. Says the Gemara, Hahu beni beni dosla kamei de Rav Ashi. there was a lung that had extra una between, that had extra una stuck in between where it's supposed to be. Asal kamei Rav Ashi, sar Rav Ashi lemitrufa. So Rav Ashi, based on what we just learned in the Gemara, wanted to say that that animal wasn't kosher. Amalei Rav Huna ma bar avya, kol hani chivri briyasa. All animals, and there's two pshatim in chivri briyasa. Some say that it's animals that are very strong, very healthy animals develop extra unis. Other mefarshim say what it means is animals that graze a lot outside. And these animals that graze around a lot outside, the extra feed and the air that they graze there causes them to develop extra unis. Hachi islahu, it's very common that they should have an extra una. The karle tabchi, and the butchers call this extra una in a nusa de varda, because it looks like a rose. And therefore, it's very common for it to happen. However, says the Gemara, v'hani mili, when is this in a nusa de varda not a problem? Megavoy, like we've been describing. You have the three on the right and two on the left, and this grows on the bottom an extra una that looks like a rose. Avla gaba, if it grows on the back of the lung, afila katar for the asa, even if you have a small growth that looks just like the leaf of a flower, that is a treifa. So Rashi says, fascinating Rashi, Rashi says that in his times already, all animals had this extra una, that his devarda da asa, all animals already had it. To the degree that I saw that the Rishonim question, why would be the halacha that Nada was saying that all animals commonly have this extra una? Why would be the halacha b'zman hazeh if the animal doesn't have it? Will it be a treifa or not? Most Rishonim say you can't call an animal that's missing it a treifa, because our Gemara clearly calls it a kosher animal. But some say, no, if an animal is supposed to have it and it doesn't have it, it's a treifa. Furthermore, I saw interesting machlokes Rishonim. Now that we established that all animals, mizman hazeh, have it, and therefore it's not a question when you see it, why will be the halacha if it has two una devardisa? Rashi and the Rishonim say that all animals nowadays have one. Why will be if it has two? Do the fact, is that not an issue? Or the Gemara only means one is not a problem, two is a problem. So I saw a very interesting discussion based on our Gemara, even though it has nothing to do with lungs. There was a chicken, not one chicken, a family of chickens, a species of chickens, that was brought to the Michas Lazar. That a chicken normally has four toes, four fingers on its leg. This one had five. It was an entire species that grew in the north of France that had five. And the Michas Lazar and his Bezdin said that it's not kosher. Why? Because we know that birds, we'll discuss this in Mr. Shem and our shiurim, are only eaten by Messiah, only if we know for sure that it's a kosher bird. And this, if it has an extra finger, our Gemara clearly indicates something with an extra finger. Not our Gemara, an extra finger is not the same as a chicken that we're used to. And if we don't have a Messiah on that chicken, and they checked with the people that live there, that there was no Messiah in the Jewish community there, that they ate those chickens, and you can't eat the chicken. However, many Paiskim disagree with the Michas Lazar. And their basis for the disagreement is our Gemara. Because our Gemara, especially as we just explained it with the Rishonim, say that if it's common that you have something that we know is a kosher species and it grows something extra, even though originally it didn't have this extra, doesn't make a treif if it's always that way. If this chicken, we know it's a chicken, and has just this extra finger, doesn't make it not a chicken, and a chicken is a kosher bird. Says the Gemara. Hi, Amar Rafram, Hai Reya de Damya L'Ufsa. If a Reya looks like a piece of wood, treifa. That Reya is considered treif. So we have a very interesting situation in the Ikka de Amri see that we really have in Shas. Ikka de Amri, what does Rafram mean when he speaks about the Reya looking like a piece of wood? Some say b'chazusa, it means the way it looks. Ikka de Amri, because it's just the way it feels. So now the Gemara starts with further Ikkim Damri. So usually, when you have another Ikkim Damri, we would say it means a third opinion. Says Rashi that that's not what it means here. this Ikad Amri, the Ikad Amris that we're going to learn now are explanations of the first two Ikad Amris that we learned. Meaning, the first Mandama said that what's the definition of that it looks, that it's like a wood, because it looks like wood. So says the Ikad Amri, what does it mean it looks like wood? The Neficha, it's white like a piece of wood. The Ikad Amri, now this Ikad Amri is coming to explain what the previous Ikad Amri said, b'mishusha. One says that it means the b'chiza, the Neficha, that it feels like it's swollen. The Ikad Amri, the b'chiza, another pshat is that it feels very smooth, and therefore it doesn't feel like a regular una. Vikad Amri, the shmi, the shia, the less lechetuch duni. We said before that the una has in it separations. Here it has no separations. However, the Paiskim do say that let's, two things that the Rishayim say. The Rambam already says, interesting Rambam, the Rambam says that even though, as we've been learning and will continue learning, usually the organs of a bird and the organs of an animal are similar. They're much smaller, but they're similar. He says the organ of the lung of a chicken, the lung of a bird, is different than the lung of an animal. And there, all these unas you don't have. And other Rishonim say, in this Gemara, that let's say you have a lung that feels smooth, it doesn't have the different unas. But if you're careful to take off the outer peel. And when you take off the outer peel, you'll see that there are grooves, then it's a kosher bird, then it's a kosher animal. Amrava, kukuchla, if the color of your lung is like blue, it's kshera. Here too, I saw two pshatim and rishonim. One pshat is that the Gemara means is that the lung looks blue. Another pshat that I saw is that it has blue spots. The Gemara is not talking about a color, it's talking about spots. Kidiyasa, but if it looks like black ink, that's treifa. Why? Because the Gemara says, Masechta Nida, says the Gemara, Darav Chanina, Shachar, whenever you have the color black, Adamhu, it really means that it's red, El Shalaka. What it means is that black is red, and that means that it bled, and that's why it turned red, and therefore it's treif. Yeruka, if it's greenish, some say Yeruka here actually means yellowish, Kshera. Midrav Nosson, and in the name of Rav Nosson, they said that even if it's a Duma, Kshera, it's still Kasha. Why? Aye, it's red. So he says, because we learn it from a different halacha altogether. The time, something Rav Nosson taught us. The time Rav Nosson, Aymer. Interesting Gemara. He says, Pamach Salachti Lekarche Ayam. I once went traveling, and says the Rabasi Isha Achas Lefonai, a woman approached me. Shemala Benar Rishon Rishon Bar Norishon Ames Sheni Ames. The first son died, and the second son died. And as the Rishonim point out, that even though normally we know it's machlekes throughout Shas, how many times is something considered a chazaka? Two times or three times. Here, we consider it a chazaka even just with two times, because we're dealing with sakonis nefashis. Furthermore, I saw that the mefarshim discuss, how do you determine, he was saying, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, if there's a family history of death because of Mila, unless, as our Gemara is going to teach us, you could be sure that the next child will be fine, you shouldn't do a bris. So how do you determine who are brothers? Do you look at the mother? Do you look at that they have the same mother? Do you look at they have the same father? Or do you have to have both parents? How do you determine who are brothers that you should have this concern? I saw many different opinions. I think the Pais can take a strict opinion because we're dealing with Sakonis Nefashis. It's interesting. There's a Rambam. The Rambam says that when you have such a situation, unless you can be certain, as the Gemara is going to show us in a moment, that everything is fine, the Rambam says we shouldn't do a bris because it's a shayla of sakonas nefashis. So the Rambam is a very difficult Rambam because every mitzvah and the bris, and the Rambam says, and the bris mila is not doicha, only three mitzvahs we know you're supposed to be ready to give up your life. So what is the Rambam saying special? I saw the Mefarshim say, Very nice pshat in the Rambam. Two nice pshat in the Rambam. One pshat in the Rambam is because we could consider that every bris maybe is a sakonas nefashos. We're undergoing an operation. So one would say that a bris should be different than all other mitzvahs. And even though by all other mitzvahs we're not obligated to be maisa nefesh, maybe by a bris we are, tells us the Rambam, bris is not considered mesiras nefesh. Most people, Baruch Shem, survived the bris. Almost everybody, Baruch Shem, survives the bris. And therefore, if it is a mesiras, if it's a sakonas nefashos, just not do it. Another pshat is like this. There's a very famous question. What we know, as I said a second ago, the halacha is by the gimel mitzvah of Averus Chamurus, Avodazara, Gila Reis, Shvich Chistamim, a person is supposed to give up his life. What happens if a person is ready to give up his life to be Maisa Nefesh by a different mitzvah? What's the halacha? Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that he is not obligated, that he can if he wants, and some say he should not. It's interesting, the Rambam holds he should not. So some would say that if the Rambam's opinion is that you could give up your life for every mitzvah. So Rambam's telling us here, bris is not one of those mitzvahs. But you can't say that pshat in the Rambam, because the Rambam holds you're never supposed to give up your life only by the gimel mitzvahs. So what's pshat in the Rambam? So pshat in the Rambam is that here, the Rambam's trying to teach us that even though it's a suffix, maybe he'll come out okay from the bris. Still the Rambam's teaching us, and maybe this person wants to be machmer, because of the important mitzvah of a bris, still teaches us the Rambam, that even though it's a suffix, and even though it's such an important mitzvah, it's not doich b'kuch nefesh. It's one, two mitzvahs to say. Havisa lefani. So they had this child that had this redness. And Rav Nosson says he was brought to me. Reis of Shayadim. I saw that he was very red. Amati la biti. So I told the mother. Him tinolai achi yivle b'dama. He says this redness is an indication that the circulatory system hasn't really begun to work. And that's why there's a problem. So I want to say it means there's a hemophilic act, but that's not Pashup Shah in the Gemara. Himtina law, so they waited until it wasn't so red that the system started working. Umala asai, and they mauled him, the Chaya, and he Baruch Shem survived. The Kayana said Nasana Bavli al Shmai. And they called him Nasana Bavli. There's a famous question, because we know that particularly people of Ashkenazic Minhagim, it's actually based on the Sefer Chassidim, do not give a name after a person is still alive. Here, it's clearly indication that he was still Baruch Shem alive, Reb Nosson, and she gave a name, Reb Nosson. So you see clearly in the Gemara, they did give a name after people who were still living. So, how do we understand what the Sefer Chassidim says? So I saw that Mefarshim want to try to explain that why shouldn't you give a name after a person is still alive? Because that person might not have reached yet his madregi, he might not have reached shleimus. And we can never be sure in any person until he leaves the world what his madregi is. Reb Nosson was such a tzaddik, there was no question that he was a tzaddik, and therefore they could give a name after him even when he was still alive. Another story, similar story. Vishum Pamachas, Halachti, says Reb Nosson, Milinus Pukatya. I went to the country of Pukatya, Basi Shlafanai, and again, a woman approached me. Shemal ibn Arisha v'mes, v'sheni mes. Shalishi avisa lefanai, the third child was brought to me. Risa shiyarek, I saw that he had this yellowish color. Hitzatzti ba, and I looked at him, v'loi hayu ba dam bris. I saw that he could not express blood. And Mefarshim explained what he was saying here was, there were two issues with this child. One issue with this child is that he still didn't have his blood system working right. And moreover, that the bris has to have hatofes dam bris. The blood has to come out during the bris. And this child wasn't able to express blood yet. Amati labiti, I told her, my daughter, Himtina lachi yipil d'dama, here to wait until the system begins to work. Himtina la omala esai v'chaya v'karen esai nasana bavli yashmi. So it's very interesting. When the Rambam quotes this halacha about a child being yorik and not making a bris, the Rambam says yorik harbe, very yellow. The Shulchan Aruch just says yorik. He doesn't add the word harbe, even though the Shulchan Aruch commonly quotes the Rambam. And the Mefarshim explain, the reason that the Shulchan Aruch says that is because since the Shulchan Aruch says that we're not really expert in what's yorik harbe, as soon as we see a child that's yorik, we shouldn't do a bris. But furthermore, there's a very fundamental question, and that's the minig ha'olam, that a child that has a high bilirubin count, we don't do a bris until the bilirubin goes down. But there's a very fundamental question, why? And has very serious halakhic ramifications, two serious halakhic ramifications. Is the concern that this child is considered still sick, weak, and therefore we shouldn't do a bris until he comes back to his strength? Or, as the Gemara seems to suggest, that the dam, the blood that comes out from a child that has this disease, even if he'll get some blood, is not really dam bris. And therefore the bris is not a kosher or a bris. What would be the nafkamina? Two nafkaminas. If the issue is that the halacha considers this child a sick child, the halacha is that if you have rachmanis on a sick child, you should wait 7 days after he gets better till you do the bris. So even if you had a child that had the high bilirubin count, whatever the mohel says is considered a high count, different customs, you should wait, and then Baruch Hashem, he gets well. If the issue is that he had this, that it was only because the bris is not going to be a good bris, so not going to be a good bris. You can do the bris immediately. If the concern, however, is that he's sick, so you have to wait till he's completely better, a week. But then I saw in the Shalos Tshuvos Mishnah Halachas a different nafkamina. Interesting nafkamina. What would be the halacha if a bris was done on a child that had a high bilirubin count? Okay? And the mother wasn't aware. Could be the parents weren't aware either. Nobody was aware. And it was only discovered after the bris was done that when the bris was done, he had a high bilirubin count. If we're going to say that the bris was done on a child who was sick, so yes, we shouldn't do a bris on a child that's sick. But if it's done, it's fine. If there's an issue on the entire dam bris of a child who has this disease, then it could be that the bris wasn't a good bris, and you should have to do, he suggests, hatafas dam bris. I never heard anybody doing it, but it's an interesting question that's posed there. Amar Rav Kahana, kikavda, if the lung looks like a liver, kshera. Kibisra, if it looks like meat, treifa. Says the Gemara, v'simanach, what's the siman to remember this halacha? Ubasa besada treifa. The meat is not allowed to be treif. The liver could look, the lung could look that way. Amar Rav Sama Brei D'Rava. Hai Ravya. Hai Reya. If you have a lung, the dam you could kush it or kumarika, or could go in beis, it has this yellowish color, treifa. Ella asked the Gemara, we said before Yeruk is kosher. And we said that Yeruk is a yellowish tinge. What does that yellow mean? Hechi dami kekarsi. It's a bluish greenish color. Continues the Gemara. Amar Ravina, Otem Bereya. If there's a blockage in the Reya, Masasinat Sakina, we bring a knife, the Karina law. And we open up that blockage. E ispa mugla. If we see that this pus there, Vade machas mugluhu, it must be that that blockage was formed because of this pus, and it's kshera, viloy, and if not, and we repeat what we learned in the previous year, mesinoi gatfa roika, we put on top of it a feather or some spit, or imitsaftafa, if it bubbles, kshera, viloy, trefa. Amar Rabbi Yosef, krum sh'ola machmas makabereya. If it has an extra membrane, ain't a crumb, like we said, a scab doesn't mean to, doesn't cover up a hole. Says the Gemara, Vam Rav Yosef, Hai Reya de Afsha, if you have a lung that makes a hissing sound, Iyadina Hecha de Afsha, if we can identify where it's coming, Menchen like Gatfa, Gila, Roika, put on it some spit, or some water, a feather, Imitzaftafa, if it blows, so we see that there's a hole there in its trefa, If it makes it flutter, if we can't identify where that hissing sound is coming from, we bring a bowl of white, of lukewarm water, and we put it in there. As the Gemara said, don't put it into hot water. The kaftsi, it causes the hole to contract, and therefore you'll, even if it has a hole, you may not see it. Bekriri loy, don't put it into cold. The mitarshi, it may make it hard, may make it hard or may make a tear. And Makdina lebishuri, we should check it with lukewarm water. Im tzavtzafa treifa, if it bubbles, then we see it's treif. V'loi ksheira. I, where's the hissing sound coming from? If it's not bubbling, but you see the hiss, you hear the hissing sound, it must be coming from, says the Gemara. What must happen, as we learned in the previous year, is to ta'ata inkif. Only the lower membrane has a hole. Eloi lo inkif, but the upper membrane does not a hole. V'hai the afsha, and this hissing sound you hear, zika de beina binahu, it's between the two membranes, and as we learned in the previous year, the lung is only considered a problem if it has holes in both membranes, not only, if it has a hole only in one membrane, it's not a problem. Says the Gemara further, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Reya shenishpecha kekitin, if the Reya is dissolved, if the lung is dissolved, it's kosher. Alma, obviously, he is of the opinion that chsaron mibifnim lo yishmei chsaron. That even though it's dissolved inside, that doesn't make it treif. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei Rabba Avalula. We learned in the Mishnah, Hareyish and Nikva Osha Chosra. If the Reya has a puncture or it's missing, the animal is treif. Ask the Gemara, my Chosra. What's the definition of the word Chosra? Ilem b'chutz, that it has missing from the outside, Sahana Nikva. And the Mishnah already said that Nikva makes the Reya a problem. Elalav, when the Mishnah used the word Chosra, doesn't the Mishnah mean Mibifnim? B'shmamina, doesn't that come to teach us Chsar Mibifnim, Shmei Chsarin? So how could you say that if the Reya was dissolved inside? So clearly if it's dissolved inside, it's Chosra. It's not a problem. Isn't that what the Mishnah meant when it said Chosra? Says the Gemara, Loi. When the Mishnah said chasra, it means that it's missing part of the outer part of the Reya. Aye, we just asked the Kasha, or the Kamarit, Haina Nikva. Isn't that the exact same as Nikva? So why does the Mishnah have to say both Nikva and chasra? Answers the Gemara, Le'tzricha, Reb Shimon, Da'ama Ach, Tinaka, Le'beisim, Simpainis. Reb Shimon, we learned in the Mishnah, says that just because the Reya has a hole, doesn't mean that the Reya is treif. Unless the hole goes all the way to the bronchial tubes. We'll discuss those tubes extensively in tomorrow's year. Hanimili, to which now the Mishnah teaches us, that even Rav Shimon that takes the lenient opinion, Hanimili lekiv de lesbei chsarin. If it has a puncture that doesn't represent that any part of the lung is missing something, so that puncture is kosher. Avol, the nisbei, nikav de isbei chsarin, if it has a hole, and it's not just that as a whole, but it represents that part of the outside of the Reya is missing. Even Reb Shimon will be moida that I feel Reb Shimon moida that Reya is a problematic Reya and the animal is not kosher. Says the Gemara. Reb Chananya Cholosh. Reb Chananya wasn't well. All the Gabay Reb Nosson called Gedolei Adar. Reb Nosson and all the Gedolim came to visit him. Eise kamei Reya shenishpecha kekitin. They brought him a Reya that was dissolved. Vachshira. And he said it's kosher. However, Amar Rava, so Rava says that even though it dissolved inside, he's still kosher. It's only kosher, he said, for who the chymus and pinus, if the bronchial tubes are still in place. Amalei Rav Achibre de Rava, Rav Ashi, Mina Yadinan, how can we tell? Amalei, so he said, Mesinen Tzad de Kunya, we bring a white klicheris, a white earthenware bowl, and we carefully pour out the contents of that Reya into that bowl. If it has white streaks, that's a proof that the simpinus have dissolved, and it's treifa. If you laugh, but if it doesn't have these white streaks, it's ksheira.